this week's OIS podcast, Dr. Asan Sadri speaks with Bob Dempsey, who just assumed the CEO role for TearClear. Let's hear how Bob's experience taking Xiidra to market for Shire led him to the driver's seat for one of the most promising new drug delivery companies.
This is Dr. Asan Sadri. I'm really excited for this week's guest who had just assumed the CEO role of TearClear, Mr. Bob Dempsey. Bob, we are super excited to have you on OIS podcast today.
Well, greetings from Boston, and thanks again for this opportunity to our friends at OIS to provide an update. Very excited about what we'll be talking about next.
Bob, so, you know, can tell us a little bit for folks that there's like one or two ophthalmologists out of the 20,000 that don't know you. Give us a little background information, and really, how did you become aware of TearClear in general, and how did that kind of play about?
Yeah, so I've been very fortunate. I've had the majority of my career in the ophthalmic industry, starting off with Allergan and then progressing through to Inspire, a great stint at Bausch + Lomb, and then obviously, you know, really had an opportunity to make a big splash at Shire, and ultimately we divested the franchise to Novartis in 2019 for close to $5 billion. So that was really a tremendous accomplishment for the team and I. And I was fortunate. I was at OIS at Academy and sitting in the audience like we all are and very attentive to the presentations. And then Dr. Vance Thompson was up there and he was presenting on TearClear, and I'm sitting in the audience and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I was putting myself in the seat of a strategic and as a franchise head and what this information meant. And I was really, really excited and could imagine the practical application of this technology. So fast forward a couple of months and to have received a call from the team about a potential board position and a CEO opportunity, when I started to do my due diligence and learned a lot more about the company, obviously had a great tease from Dr. Thompson, but then really had the opportunity to lean in and got very excited about the opportunity. And, you know, from a strategic perspective, we would look at information very, very logical. So the first thing we would do is IP. Second thing we would do would be the technology. Third would be the development pathway. And the fourth would be the large unmet need. So I took that approach when I did my own diligence, and each one of those verticals, I would check the box, and I'm like, okay, now's the time to really lean in and learn more about the company and explore this fully. So that's what I did, and obviously, you know, fast forward to today, in which we're announcing my appointment as CEO is very exciting and really looking forward to taking the company to the next level.
That's wonderful. I'm personally very excited because I know the TearClear gang very well for the last few years. They are just ready to go. I think that, as you know, you were saying earlier, glaucoma is such an unmet need, and there's so much comorbidity with this issues with BAK usage of all these chronic illnesses. Glaucoma is just a wonderful entree. Tell me, what do you think about that glaucoma portfolio? Because I know you were in dry eye, and I'd love to get your perspective of Shire, how you launched that, and how you are going to use that platform to help our glaucoma patients with the glaucoma program.
Well, first of all, to be part of an emerging ophthalmology development company is extremely, extremely exciting. But I look at this as we have the opportunity to disrupt the way current medications are delivered to the ocular surface. So, you know, when you think about the practical application, this is not just about one drug. Now, we have multiple programs in development, of which our lead opportunities will be in glaucoma. But the good news doesn't stop there. This is about doing something that's never been done before, capturing preservatives before they reach the ocular surface. And I can envision numerous applications across the entire ophthalmology industry. So the thing that got me really excited when I was doing my diligence is the versatility of our approach beyond glaucoma. And when I think of beyond glaucoma, I think of anti-inflammatory conditions such as dry eye disease. And we know that there's potential opportunities there as well, because we know, and there's a lot of literature about the detrimental effects of BAK in the ocular surface. It leads to signs and symptoms of dry eye disease. So to be able to capture the preservatives before they reach the ocular surface, and again, the versatile application, it's a no-brainer. So again, we're very excited to move our programs along. We have a robust pipeline of both glaucoma, anti-inflammatory, and other applications. And what's a very nice attribute of this is it's not just the U.S. I mean, having started my career in the U.S. and then, you know, when I became the global head of ophthalmology at Shire, I really was able to lean in on other territories across the globe. And I can see where, obviously, our first 40 will be in the U.S., but the practical application of this technology on a global scale is something we really need to build out.
That's a really good overview. For those of you who are familiar with dry eyes, as you know, there's about 30% of our patients who have glaucoma and are in chronic treatment suffer from dry eyes, and it's extremely prevalent problem that not only affects compliance for these patients that use glaucoma medication, but just really visual acuity. So I'm excited about that. And there's really a huge unmet need. I mean, we're talking BAK and across the platforms. And so what I personally would love to see is those patients getting good care. And this delivers that. So tell me a little bit more about that. I know you talked about your team at the beginning, but I want to really learn about it. Okay, so now you've been given this portfolio company and you have a team. What is the next few steps? Like if I'm a new CEO or a CEO that's kind of budding and really interested in taking over, what are some, you know, tell us what would Phil Jackson, Bob Dempsey do in this scenario? What's your game plan? Tell us the next few steps.
Yeah. That's a great question. So immediately, I'm looking at three pillars, three verticals. The first is going to be the technical expertise. So we need to continue our development from a technical perspective, continue to validate the technology, and continue the process of scaling up our production. So check that box. Next, we get into the clinical development programs. And I want to emphasize that's plural. We're going to have multiple programs in development. First in glaucoma. But what's exciting about that is as I'm leaning in, we're preparing our clinical development programs. We're reaching out to CROs. We're going to be in clinical development in the U.S. in registration trials in 2021. And when you look at the horizon, when you're in clinical development programs, now you need to bridge into the commercial opportunity as well. So in summary, maintain our technical expertise, then build out our clinical development program. And then in parallel to designing our clinical studies, our clinical registration studies, which will ultimately lead to FDA approval, you now build out the commercial infrastructure. And obviously, it's the same playbook that we did at Shire, you know, going back to 2013, 2014, of how we planned every phase of our launch into the ophthalmic space. And that's what really is getting me excited as I've started to lean in and learn more about the back office at TearClear, is we have all the foundation ready to roll. Now we need to elevate, we need to amplify, and we need to now really approach the ophthalmic industry. And I think that's something I take a lot of pride in, especially what I've done in the past. And you know, you look at the ecosystem, you look at ophthalmology, you look at optometry, you look at the VCs, you look at the strategics, you look at the academic affiliations, you look at all of the media related, all of that will come together. And I'm happy to be driving that innovation for TearClear as we approach, you know, the next stage of growth for the organization.
You know, I for those of you who are listening to this, this is just, he's throwing out a lot of gold nuggets here, because what that playbook will give you is, I've been sort of seeing a lot of startup companies. It's amazing how getting the recipe down in sequential order would lead to success versus set failure. I mean, just that, what you just described, people should write notes on, because there's a lot of teams and, Yeah, they're wonderful. They have great technology, but maybe they brought the commercial team a little too early. They had a high burn rate, you know, and things didn't work out. You know, if the trials don't give you the endpoint, then, you know, you need to sort of save your dough, as they say, save your money. So for future trials. And so tell us a little about that. I know you guys went through Series B round recently. What does that concretely enable you to do as CEO of TierClear?
Yeah, it allows us to really, when you look at the use of funds, which is a critical component of this Series B raise, it really, again, allows us to continue our technology development. It allows us to plan and execute our clinical drug development programs and start the build out of a commercialization plan. All of these are, to me, the hallmarks of our entrance into the ophthalmology space. And I want to build upon the launch playbook that I've done in the past. One thing I've definitely learned through my experience is the choices that you make and the investments that you make are critical, because like all businesses, we have a finite amount of resources, and we have to be very selective and very intelligent about how we allocate these resources to maximize the value for both the investors as well as individuals that potentially will invest in the organization in the future.
That's great. That's really, really good. So I think the Series B allows you to, you know, give you the building blocks and also the team with Bill Link. We were supposed to have him and the schedule didn't work out. You know, I think the biggest thing is what are you excited about that, having Bill and, you know, the visionary team behind it? What do you, as a CEO, what are your thoughts there as opposed to not having?
Well, I think it validates. I mean, having the opportunity to work visionary ventures, Flying L Partners, and Bluestem Capital really provides us the foundation. And when you think of, you know, these two leaders in from a VC perspective, investing in and supporting TierClear is really monumental. I've been able to work on numerous other board positions and know the diligence that these three organizations and hopefully others conduct when they look at an organization. And to have that conducted and have it conducted in a way that was a very, very positive experience for all parties involved, again, shows the validation of the technology and, more importantly, the potential return as we look at generating revenue in 2022. You know, we have to execute the current plan. We have to build a commercial plan. But ultimately, the goal is to be in the market generating revenue in 2022. And with the support of our chairman, Bill Link, and these three strategic VCs, I think we are well positioned for growth in the near future.
Yeah, and I think that's really a good segue, because I think when folks are learning on how to lean on really wise investors and board, it's really become really good sounding boards, don't they? I mean, they become like, you know, they have a wealth of background and experience. And what are your thoughts there? Let's say I'm a startup and I don't have that. What do I do? Do I network? What are your thoughts there? What's your advice?
I think it's a combination of putting together a strong story, and the strong story has to come back to, you know, the foundation. You have to have a strong technology. You have to have a strong clinical development program, and you have to have a large unmet need in which you have an opportunity to approach a market that's large with novel technology and the ability to scale up that novel technology. If you can provide a compelling story and have realistic use of funds to the right investors, the investors will become very intrigued. And then it becomes a question of valuation and what the potential upside is. And again, if you have solid technology that's protected by IP, you have the ability to scale, and you have the ability to gain market share with an innovative technology to address an unmet need, beautiful things can happen.
That's really good overview. I was just basically, you know, to reiterate that is if you're a startup and you just need a compelling story and you need to have solid IP. And we, you know, one of the things that I think it's really important is because it's intimidating, right? So one of the things I always like to, I'm passionate about is kind of how do you then give advice to young Bob Dempsey starting out? They don't have resources. They have a really good technology. They're working on IP. How do you develop a Bob Dempsey into someone who's got seniority and a lot of, you know, give us a little bit of insight on that development. What did that look like for you? And what advice would you give yourself maybe 10 years ago?
Well, I think two words come to mind. It's a team approach and relationships matter. You have to build a team, a cohesive team. You have to have subject matter experts that know their areas. They know the areas exceptionally well and can communicate those areas to potential investors. So it all starts with the team. And then as a new entrant, relationships matter. I kicked off my career in sales and knew very early on that developing relationships with whether it's the top doctor at one of the finest academic institutions in the world or a doctor that is starting out his practice, you treat everyone the same, you embrace them, you show them the TLC, and beautiful things will happen. Everyone part of this ecosystem matters, and it's so important. And I see companies and individuals that are leaders in this field, they may overemphasize one part of it, and that may be really important at the time. But again, it's the entire ecosystem which makes this ophthalmology and an ophthalmic industry so different and so unique. So my strong advice, everyone matters, relationships matters, treat everyone as they're the most important person that you're dealing with. And if you do that and build a strong team, very, very good things will happen to you in the course of your career.
That's sound advice. I hope you guys are taking notes on that. I was reviewing my notes and I just was going to ask you. So, you know, we're talking about glaucoma. We're talking about other disease states like dry eyes that you're going to be looking at. How does this, in your opinion, sort of extend beyond, how does this influence the patency? If I'm a big company, a strategic, and I have companies that are going off patent, how does that influence? How does that help them?
I think it does significantly. So based on my career, you know, when you have a product in development, when you have a product that ultimately gets approved, you're always looking at it from a standpoint of life cycle management. And for example, with the technology that TearClear has, it's an opportunity to continue to manage the life cycle of numerous opportunities that are out there. It's an opportunity to make a better mousetrap, to extend the IP and really allow as a major improvement for future revenue to occur. So for any strategics out there that are looking across their portfolio products, if they're looking for new, innovative, and a potential best-in-class approach, all of these individuals know lifecycle management is critical. TearClear will offer you that opportunity to look at your current portfolio and provide enhancements by removing BAK before it impacts the ocular surface. It's a strong story. Again, when I look back at the OIS meeting and Dr. Thompson is presenting, I put myself in a position of a franchise head of a major strategic. And if I had heard that while I was running Shire, it would have been the first calls they made following that OIS meeting, because that's exactly what you're looking to do as a strategic, is to continue the revenue stream. One of the best ways to do it is maximizing your life cycle management opportunities.
I think that's a really holy grail of being able to assist in companies that are really just, I mean, you know, it's a new world with this corona. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it. But, you know, I'm on Zoom calls pretty much 3-4 times a day right now with strategics and also physicians on what the world's going to be like coming, you know, after this. I think that a lot of people are really, to be honest with you, think there's a subset of people, believe it or not, that think this is going to be, we're going to go back to normal. I think most people agree we're not. and how that influences the R&D budgets. And, you know, we're talking to most of the strategics, they have all their payroll still, they haven't furloughed anybody. That and that, how's that going to influence their R&D investments, and how this would essentially help prolong the patent life and IP. I think that's really exciting and more to develop. And I think what's exciting is you bringing those relationships with you to then be able to help the company. I think that's really exciting. So what are your thoughts on what's going on with Corona? I mean, what are you hearing out there in Boston?
Yeah, so obviously Boston was impacted very early on, and like all parts of the country have been dealing with this situation. You know, how it's impacted our team, our employees, our supply chain is something we monitor on a daily basis. So we've been fortunate that all of our employees are doing well. We've been fortunate that all of our suppliers have been able to be designated as essential employees. So we have not seen a disruption in our supply chain, which is absolutely critical. You know, when I look at the horizon, one of the things that's going to be really important is the potential for the impact of our clinical development programs. So our goal is to be in the clinic in 2021, and we're closely monitoring the potential impact from the standpoint of our program. And as we start planning and then ultimately executing our clinical trials, what would be the potential barriers from a recruitment perspective? We do know a lot of trials have been put on hold. So once we see the light at the end of the tunnel, once the CROs and the practices will then start coming back up to speed, how will that impact the clinical development programs of programs that are ahead of us in the queue? So there's going to be a lot of work to do. I'm hoping that as practices get back online, they can use clinical development, clinical research as an opportunity to supplement their income. And, you know, I think that, you know, for those practices that are well diversified, this will be a very good opportunity to generate additional revenue sources, not just on seeing patients, not just on performing surgery, but as additional revenue source by conducting clinical trials. So I think there's a lot yet to be determined, but knowing how the ophthalmic community is responding and using this as an opportunity to pause, but more importantly, to plan for the future, I think is something we all have to take advantage of.
You nailed it. I think, you know, for us as a microscopic sort of practice, we do a lot of clinical trials, and it's been one of the only things that are actually putting water in the bathtub. We're still seeing patients, but obviously being very cognizant of social distancing. But you brought up a good point. I think, you know, it'll have a global impact on the number of basic patients that are seen in the clinics as far as being able to recruit for the trials. I think the centers that are pretty, you know, solid and have good history, they'll be fine. But I think the centers that are not used to this and are really have had recruiting issues might be in trouble. And I think, to your point, every ophthalmologist should look at supporting industry by looking at clinical trials. We have, and I've done it for years, and it's been great. It's not easy. It's fun, but it's a lot of work. But I do think, to your point, one of the biggest, in my opinion, as a provider, is like, you know, when is the patient going to feel comfortable coming back in? You know, people think, oh, we're going to go ahead and release relax the social distancing. Or maybe, you know, in June, July, I do think that there's going to be some hesitancy of some patients that are basically stable, if you will, that have no chronic problems to come back into the clinic. And I do think we need to address that. So more to come on that. I really wanted to thank you for coming on board. Congratulations to you and the family for joining the TearClear company. I think that they're lucky to have you. We've been very, very fortunate to have an exclusive podcast with you pre-announcement, and I wanted to thank you for, you know, I know you're super busy and a lot of irons in the fire. With that said, do you have any parting words for young entrepreneurs?
Well, first of all, I thank you again for the opportunity. OIS has, and I think I've been quoted as saying, is if not one of mine, then I would say easily my favorite meeting of the year. I think what the team has done in creating an absolutely beautiful venue for all of us in the industry to come together and see where innovation is today, but more importantly, where it is going in the future. But also at this time, it's important to pause and be thankful for and send out regards to all of our friends and colleagues who may be struggling. We're thinking about you. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone in Vegas. And that will be an opportunity for us to celebrate where we are, but also to be thankful for our good health and well wishes to everyone in the ophthalmic community. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Congratulations. And we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the OIS Podcast. Listen in for more episodes with the movers and shakers in ophthalmology. And keep an eye out for our new virtual OIS, a series of online showcases featuring a selection of the most exciting therapies in development to address glaucoma, dry eye, presbyopia, and retinal degenerative diseases. If interested in presenting in one of our upcoming showcases, visit OIS.net and click Get Involved.